This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
What was your best decision that you've made as an owner to date?
Getting Bill Belichick to come to the Patriots. I gave up a number one draft pick, coach who had only won a little over 40% of his game in 1999. It was a big risk. And I got hammered in the Boston media, but I think we did okay.
That's Patriots owner Robert Kraft on the Dudes on Dudes podcast.
And I got hammered.
Same. Looking forward to that. It is a Wednesday when I get home. Dudes on Dudes, Edelman and Gronk. Robert Kraft asked about his best decision he ever made. We'll get to that in a second, but it's Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off today, tomorrow, and Friday. He'll be back on Monday, so Billy Lanny has slid over. We just had a pure hoops hour with Justin Turpin. We got Grab Bag coming up on the way. We started the program talking some baseball all-star game stuff from last night. Came down to a home run derby off. Not a bad way to settle a ball game, I guess.
No, not at all.
Wasn't sure how it was going to go, and then you see it in real time. You're like, all right.
You think they brought in the juiced up balls they used the night before?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Give the guy his metal bats.
No, he definitely didn't because Aranda was barely hitting the past the infield.
So. Right, maybe Aranda got a bad batch. Maybe he didn't get the right balls. But anyway, it was a tie. But rather than it being an actual tie like 2002 where they didn't know what to do, they actually settled it the old-fashioned way. We also talking about Caitlin Clark. She was in town. WNBA expansion talk today. The governor called Greg's show talking about trying to get a WNBA team in Boston. So all that on the table for you. But we play that. That was from the other day. Jones and I mentioned it briefly. Robert Kraft. Jones read it as Kraft giving Bill credit. I read it as Kraft taking credit.
Right.
And you kind of can tell if you listen to it again with mentioning Bill's stats
how bad
with
he
Cleveland.
Was. Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I got hammered, for lack of a better term, by the press for bringing in Bill Belichick. I took a huge risk of bringing in Bill Belichick, but it turned out pretty well. Well, turns out Bill Belichick, the summer of Bill has been wild, but he responded to that. He didn't go on Dudes on Dudes, but Don Van Natta, who's had a lot of Patriots, he and Wickersham have had a lot of Patriot stories over the last several years, he reached out, I guess, responded in a statement to ESPN, Belichick did, about that, which right away, before I even read
that quick.
Before I even read what he said, how out of character is that?
Right.
Bill feels the need to respond to this.
Right, so his girlfriend has some kind of alert on her phone or laptop that says, Kraft Belichick, we got an alert.
Bill, you're trending.
Right.
Bill, you're trending right now. We need to get in front of this. Is that also a video of him doing the punch buggy joke to Jordan?
That's
did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I heard it was a thing.
So, Nick, did you see that? It was like Jordan.
Yeah, they were on the beach, and it sounded like, it didn't show Bill, but it sounded like Bill.
Sounded like Bill, and then he had like his fist, and he kind of like tapped, like love punched her, and he was like.
A lot of punch buggy, a lot of VWs on the beach?
I don't think there are any on the beach, unless they have the ones that look like jet skis, which are throwing me off a little bit. But I don't know, but anyway, that was making the rounds. So Bill Belichick responds to
punch
the.
Punch buggy, no punch back.
What? Oh.
Terrible.
Creepy.
It's real creepy. It's real creepy. That's like AI Belichick.
Right, exactly. Like.
So Kraft says there's a big risk for him to hire Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick responds and says, quote, as I told Robert multiple times through the years, I took a big risk by taking the New England Patriots head coaching job. I already had an opportunity to be the head coach of the New York Jets, but the ownership situation was unstable. All right. Quote, or I should say continued. I had been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches, as well as other members of other NFL organizations and the media, that the New England job was going to come to with many internal obstacles. I made it clear that we would have to change the way the team was managed to regain the previously attained success. So basically it's like, I could have had the Jets job. It's like, yeah, Bill, we know you could have the Jets job. You walked out. You wrote on the napkin that you resigned as HC of the NYJ. We know that. And he's saying, well, people told me, media members told me not to take the job.
Now he's listening. Like, then he listened to the media.
He picks and chooses. You think that was Francesa? Maybe Francesa was like, hey, Bill.
Right, imagine that.
Don't take that job. So he's like, other Patriots head coaches. So I'm trying to think, who could that have been? Oh, maybe Parcells? I'm guessing Parcells, maybe, what, Pete Carroll, were like, hey, don't work for him. Because you can't say previous Patriots head coach. We know who you're talking about.
Correct.
It's Parcells told you that.
It's the shopping list guy.
It didn't end well with Bill and Kraft, so we already have an idea of that. But, like, what a weird thing. I mean, the truth is probably that they both took a risk, but they also both, they needed each other.
Right.
Right? Like, Robert Kraft did not have, like, this long run of success. He had the Super Bowl appearance with Parcells, but then it had gotten worse each year after that. There was like the famous scene of Robert Kraft with the stopwatch timing to Bucky Jones and being like a hands-on owner. That eventually stopped. But Bill Belichick wasn't exactly getting any job he wanted. So they kind of needed each other.
Right. You give them both truth serum. They're saying they both needed each other. But now the way it ended and how things have been going, it's easy for one to blame the other.
I'm starting to think we don't get that Belichick statue. Did we get a statue? No. We get a Belichick day. We get a Tom Brady day.
Probably get a Belichick day.
Probably should get a Belichick day.
Right, because, I mean, I don't know why you would retire. Like they don't have like a they
hoodie.
Technically have a ring of honor. Like,
I don't know if they have a ring. I mean, they have the team Hall of Fame, and then you give him his red jacket.
If they're trying to sell this as a mutually parting of ways, which
it
we all know
not.
It wasn't.
Yeah, right.
But if that's what they're going to try to sell us, then if that's the case, then there should be a day.
Especially because Kraft came out and said, I had to fire Bill Belichick.
Right.
My God. You gotta get your story straight, my guy.
Right.
You can't just be all over the place
I
here.
Think it'd be tough for the franchise to not honor Belichick in some way.
Yeah, they need to do it somehow, some way. I mean, he's not in the league. He's probably not getting back in the league.
They're going to have like the Brady statue, and then they're going to have it kind of be like a perception thing where there's going to be like a tiny little statue on the back of Bill that makes it almost look like he's watching from the sidelines, but he's not nearly as big as the Brady statue.
Or they do it in a way where, depending on the way the sun hits it, he's literally in the shadow of Brady.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, yeah. They're like, oh, what a coincidence.
Burn.
We didn't see that coming. Yeah, so that whole thing is true. I think, honestly, the biggest... not surprised, but the most newsworthy item is not what Bill or Robert said. It's the fact that Bill did respond and he went through ESPN to do it. You're like, what? What are you doing? Bill Belichick.
And responded quick. When did Kraft say the comments?
Oh, my God. Well, when did we play him, Nick? Just the other day? Yesterday or the day before?
Let me look at the day.
Okay.
Right. But either way, it was very quick. Like I said, it's.
It was on Dudes on Dudes.
It's almost like each one of them is waiting for the other one to say something.
It's from the 11th.
Okay.
All right, so
five days ago, but he probably uses. Well, he was on the beach running around with Jordan. Although I also didn't. It sounded like Jordan Hudson was at the Caitlin Clark game last night. So I assume Bill was there.
Yeah.
Was Bill there?
I think we would have seen it if Bill was there.
That's true.
Because they're not going to be like, oh, hey, here's Jordan Hudson without Bill.
No, no, no. We heard this from somebody that was there, said that she was there.
Gotcha.
So I don't think she was like on the jumbo screen or anything like that. But yeah, so a little more Bill versus Robert back and forth. And it's one of those where you're like, oh my God, clearly both of you just needed Tom Brady.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, right.
That's like
right,
the winner in all of this always is just Tom Brady.
Right. The sooner you both admit you needed Tom Brady, the sooner this is over with.
Like, can we just please? So you're right. This was not the this was not like the number one job for coaches, but Bill Belichick also wasn't the number one candidate. Done.
Right.
Like, that seems like what it was. But no, he felt the need to respond to this. So we'll see. The college football season's got to be coming right around the corner here. They usually, when's week zero?
Week zero is like August 23rd.
It's usually a week before
like
Labor
that.
Day.
Yeah, they're right.
It used to be like the Saturday before Labor Day used to be the first game.
They kick off, even earlier. So do you think he's going to be good at North Carolina? Or do you think North Carolina's going to be good either way?
Better. New North Carolina will be better.
It'll be a little bit better.
It's going to have the tough part is, though, it's going to be a lot of eyes on him.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. It's not like he can just kind of sneak under the radar and do his thing. Like, North Carolina is going to see a lot of national games just because he's on the sideline. So,
yep. I think the week one right off the rip, I believe they have the lone.
It's a Monday standalone against TCU.
Thank you. September 1st. They are 8 o'clock ESPN.
So like, right back at it on the 6th.
Right at. Ooh, short week. Is that true?
I'm running the hill.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. They go TCU and then at Charlotte. That is a quick turnaround. So, yeah, Bill's got at least three ESPN games already.
I think the first is Labor Day, right? Labor Day is...
Oh, is it Labor Day Monday?
Yeah, that is.
Labor Day is as early as it can possibly be this year. So,
their
all right.
Their schedule's pretty easy, huh?
Their schedule stinks. That's why I think they're actually going to be pretty good.
Clemson and Cal's decent-ish.
I don't even know. Yeah, it's not great. Opens TCU, Charlotte, Richmond right off the rip. Like that, I mean,
watch out for those spiders.
Although, isn't that Jones's like lock of the century? TCU.
TCU. He seemed pretty confident in.
I don't know why.
I'd be a little surprised that it was the lock of the century.
TCU is favored in the game, but only by 3. So I guess Carolina home dogs right off the rip. But yeah, there's Bill Belichick, and he is responding to Robert Kraft. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. 617-779-7937. Trade deadline in baseball just a couple of weeks away. We had a chance last night in the All-Star game to watch a potential future Red Sox as Joe Ryan looked very good. Couple of strikeouts in the fourth inning. We played the audio yesterday of Joe Ryan talking with Rob Bradford, who's going to be joining us tomorrow for a full hour. And Joe Ryan was like somewhat complimentary of Minnesota, but also of the July's very exciting. You want to see where guys go. If I get traded, it will be exciting.
Yep.
But there's also the photo of Bregman and Crochet with Joe Ryan. That feels like if they can find a way to thread the needle and add Joe Ryan and not trade Jaren Duran, I mean, people are already excited about the Red Sox, but I think that would take them to the next level.
Right. Because, I mean, I mentioned earlier, like, I don't think I'd be heartbroken if Duran went. But you said, if you could pull this off and lose anybody off your major league roster right now.
It's possible. Just because you got to wonder, what is Minnesota looking for in return? I would think they would rather a bunch of prospects than a 28-year-old guy who in a couple of years you're going to have to pay. Because one of the reasons for trading Joe Ryan would be, one, your team's not going anywhere, which they're really not.
They're 11.5 games out of the Central.
Yeah. And so and out of the wild card, they're like 4, but they have 2 teams in front of them until you even get to the wild card team. So they're like in a group of teams right now. Mm-hmm. So they should be a seller, the Minnesota Twins. But one of their other reasons to trade Joe Ryan would be maybe you feel like you're not going to be able to sign him long term. And at the rate he's going, he is going to cost a ton of money.
Yeah, the same situation that Crochet was in with the White Sox.
Yes.
They weren't going to pay him, so you're able to get rid of him.
So that would be it, because I think that would be what kind of clinches it. I think they're...
When is the trade deadline?
I thought it was
July 30th?
Usually
I thought it was 31st. Month, right?
Red Sox and Twins play each other leading into the trade deadline.
No way. That series right there?
They play from the 28th to the 30th.
6 p.m. July 31st.
Yep.
So imagine the Red Sox knock him out of playoff contention. Get
just
Joe
take
Ryan.
Him. Right. Okay, can you not start Joe
just
Ryan?
Like Menkevich just walked across the hall.
He did. That was pretty sweet.
I mean, it sucked that Noma was leaving, but convenient for Doug.
Yep. Oh, that is true. just you know, join the club right there. Are you confident they're going to do something? Because Breslow is only his second trade deadline. Last year, he made a lot of moves, but nobody was really very good. This offseason was great. I know Jones has been puffing his chest out about how great the offseason was, and it has been. I mean, you literally acquired three All-Stars. You can't really do a whole lot better than that. He's talked a lot about bringing in an impact player. Is he able to pull that off?
I hope so.
Yeah.
As a fan, obviously.
Yeah,
like I had mentioned earlier, you want to think, regardless if it's a big move, small move, that your team is involved in these conversations for players. Again, I don't want to live by the, oh, well, this guy's coming off the DL. This guy, oh, sorry, IL. This guy's coming off the IL. That's like a trade acquisition.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, it's I'd like a starting pitcher. I can't really think of, you can always use a good bat and good pitching, but I think your starting pitcher is your top priority, because I can't think of what fielding position they're like, we need this here.
No, right now, it's, they sort of have like the log jam,
right?
Like, they, every day now, and this could change the first series, somebody could get hurt and it's changed, but with Bregman back and with Yoshida back and with both Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer up, it's like, you have not enough spots.
Right.
And, you know, you could see what Breslow was talking about when it was like, Devers needs to do something other than DH, because we have all these guys that we want to move around, so that you free up DH. So Roman Anthony can DH some games, or, you know, one of your guys that kills lefties can DH one of those games. You can move guys around. So they have almost more guys that should be everyday players.
Plenty of depth.
Yeah. I could see, like, could you add a first baseman? Sure. Like, they don't really have a true everyday first baseman. So maybe that's one thing. I was surprised Jeff Pass, I think it was last week, had the that article of, here's a player every team could use that's a contender. And they gave a wild card, or I'm sorry, a reliever to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, they had like all the wild card teams, and like, who could they add? I think their bullpen's not bad.
No, and not at all.
Obviously, it's capped off with Chapman, who's insane.
Ooh, yeah, none of us had any idea that's what we were getting.
No. That's one, if Breslow really wanted to like look back and freezing takes expose people, it'd be that one.
Right.
Because they signed Chapman and we're like, oh, great. Like, what are you doing?
Looking at it, he was splitting time with Bednar last year in Pittsburgh. Like, he wasn't even the full-time closer there.
No, it's kind of crazy how good he's been. Because, he at least has a track record. Like, he has had seasons like this, but he just thought it was kind of over with. But he's been good. But no, I think a starting pitcher, and there's a lot of names. Like, surprisingly, at first I thought the list was somewhat underwhelming, but then you get into like Freddie Peralta or like even a guy like Zach Gallen. Like, a lot of these teams that are legitimately out of it have a starter or two that they might be willing to trade. And so I think the Sox need to be right at the front of that line.
Yeah, in a perfect world, it would be Joe Ryan, but
yes,
there's still plenty of options out there.
Yeah. Like bringing back Nathan Eovaldi, for God's sakes.
Right?
How was he not an All-Star, by the way?
He was old reliable.
Yeah, how was he not an All-Star?
They need a White Sox representative in there, so they leave.
Did you see what the White Sox did yesterday?
Yeah, hit Eugenio Suarez.
He drilled Suarez in the All-Star game. Somebody had a great tweet about it. They're like, you invite one White Sox to the All-Star game, and then he beans this guy. He beans one of like the best players in the game, who also could be like
he's
guy
going to be like the top trade target.
Right. Maybe not now. You get the x-rays back on that guy? What happened to him? But yeah, Nathan Eovaldi this season is 7-3 with a 1.58 ERA.
It's nuts.
Not an All-Star.
16 starts. So, I mean, I guess guys have had more starts than him, but that's not
like two or three starts.
The dude from the
Brewers. He's only pitched five games.
He's pitched five games and he's an All-Star. I don't get it. There's also, I was looking just like at the list of like the rosters. There's a ton of All-Stars. There's so many injury replacements.
Right.
And then not only injury replacements, there's guys like Bregman and Crochet. They're like, I'm good.
Right.
So then they replace him.
And Bregman could use the injury thing of it.
Yeah,
you know, Crochet was just like, dude, I pitched Saturday.
Yeah, I'm
thank
good.
You, but no thank you.
He's like, I just pitched nine innings. Did you guys not see that? You're like, yeah, that was pretty good. All right, there you go. So you can add all that to the pile as well. 617-779-7937. It is Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. No Jones today, tomorrow, or Friday. Billy Laney has slid over. I'm not going to sing. I don't think I can get to the octave that Jones can get to. But coming up next, you of course know, it's time for Grab Bag. And here's a brand new Grab Bag. You ready for this, Bill?
Damn.
I don't know if you've heard this. Brand new Grab Bag.
Jones and Keefe, Grab Bag. Jones and Keefe, Jones and Keefe. and Keith Grabbag. Jones and Keith Grabbag. Jones and Keith. Jones and Keith. Jones and Keith Grabbag.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
That's on me.
That's
Jones
all right.
Jones does a good job. Jones does a good job of teasing that, hey, here's Billy with trending, which reminds Billy that it's time for trending.
Like, oh, no.
No, well, you know like, this, too. It's like sitting in the seat. You sit in the seat, you forget that there's things that really are important.
Good point.
And that's given the news of last night.
Yeah. Who won the game?
I'll let you know, but I'm going to let you know that it's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The NL defeated the AL 7-6 after the first ever extra innings home run swing-off. Phillies outfielder Kyle Schwarber was named MVP. He hit three home runs in that swing-off. This is the NL's second All-Star win in the last 3 years. Red Sox return to action on Friday night. The Sox are going to be in Chicago, taking on the Cubs for a three-game series. TD Garden was sold out last night to watch the Indiana Fever defeat the Connecticut Sun 85-77. Kalen Clark scored 14 points for the Fever before exiting the game late in the fourth quarter with a groin injury. And tonight, the Revolution will be in New York taking on the Red Bulls. Kickoff for that one is at 7:30. Did you know dropping your first 25 pounds with Awaken 180 adds 6 to 10 yards to every shot? Even better scores every 5 pounds after? Look it up. Freedom from excess fat is measurable. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI Afternoon just had a zipper sound effect that confused host one. Coming up on 3:30 on a Thursday, that means Tom E. Curran is about to join us from NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, how we doing?
I'm great, and I give a poop about your pipes, too.
Well, thank you. And Fitzy's been talking about his wife's pipes, but we're going to leave that alone. We're not going to get him in more marital trouble. So, Tom Curran, you and I have been doing this for a long, 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 lots of long times, getting ready for training camp. Can you put into perspective your interest or excitement level as you look ahead to next week and the start of 2025 Patriots training camp?
I would say it's been such an interesting run, not to get too, you know, up on a soapbox about it, but the interest in so many of the seasons was how good will this team be? Is it still an elite team? Is it still a Final Four team? Will it win the Super Bowl? That it became commonplace. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a question whether or not it would make the playoffs or not. You know, when I started and you were starting and Ted was on the team, it was, you know, how would they follow up Bill Parcells and how would Pete Carroll be? So I kind of look at it as more throwback to that period of time from 1997 to 2001 going into that year where you don't know what you're going to get. We can presume it. And when we look at this team and we have in the glass half full optimism of the off season, we see a 7, 8, or 9 win team or even a 10 win team. And we looked at this on our early edition email today. When you look at all the top players at every position, the Patriots have very few, even in the top 10. They got top 10 paid guys like Onwenu and Stevenson are paid top 10 at their position. But, you know, Duggar isn't really a top 10 player, nor are really any of the other guys. You could maybe say Milton Williams, but they don't have any. So we're presuming that each of these guys is going to play the way he could and should with a new coaching staff and better players around them. So there's a lot of intrigue on my part. I'm very intrigued to see how the Josh McDaniels offense really looks and how much it takes advantage of Drake May, how much better the offensive line really can be, because it is razor thin in terms of depth. Is this defense going to have Keon White turn into a top-tier player, Barmore turn into a top-tier player, Milton Williams play the way he did, the two linebackers play at a level that, you know, they really haven't played and become playoff performers. So there's a lot of intrigue. If everybody plays the way we presume, hell, it's a 10-win team. But if they don't and there's injuries, we could be, again, looking at a 6 or 7-win team. We're very glass half full right now, guys, I think.
So as far as the intensity of Mike Vrabel in his first year as head coach of the Patriots, Tommy, what do you expect the first couple of days in what should be a highly competitive environment to be like at Pat's Camp 2025?
I think the first few days, they are a continuation of minicamp. So for fans who are going to go to the first few days of training camp, just expect that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday, I believe they're in there as well. They're not going to have pads on. It's going to look like minicamp and passing camp. But I do imagine that they're going to be tested by Vrabel to say, so what have you guys been doing for the last 30 days? Have you been staying in shape? Because I'm going to run your asses in the heat right now. So I hope you have been. And they'll start to make their decisions based upon, and he'll use the best players, as he has pointed out a number of times. And Teddy, I know you were down there for some of the minicamp stuff. He'll use his best players and say, Milton Williams better be in good friggin' shape. Stephon Diggs, I don't care about your ACL. You better be in good shape. You better be able to run. Jalen Polk, you need to win a position on this team. It's not a layup. May, you better win every race. So I'm really intrigued to see how hard he runs them. Training camp really starts next Tuesday in terms of having pads on, I would imagine.
On the topic of the intensity, did you find that the guys on the roster were responding well to the change in, say, the change in culture and in tone of the coaching staff during OTAs? And do you expect that to be a seamless process during camp?
Yeah, undeniably. I mean, Milton Williams, I think the way he responded to it, his attendance during the off season, and the way he talked about it, I thought was notable. Keon White, who is he's a very smart guy, he's a little enigmatic and prickly, but he spoke openly of feeling as if he was going to be challenged by this coaching staff in a way that he hadn't been previously. They talk and walk the party line about wanting to work really hard and play at a level to satisfy what Vrabel is asking for. He just keeps saying, I don't want to see stupid football. And Bill used to say the same thing. And you know what would happen from 2020 on? They'd go out and play stupid friggin' football.
That's why they lost so many games. They were not a Patriots coach team, in part because they didn't have a big coaching staff, because Bill just didn't hire anybody. So they had tiny coaching staffs, and then they would go out and play poorly and dumbly. So that should be a sea change, and I think it's going to be ratcheted up in a way that it hasn't been here probably in almost a decade.
NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, who took a bigger risk when they got married together back in 2000? Was Bill Belichick taking a huge risk coming to the Patriots, or did Robert Kraft take the risk?
I can't even believe that Bill went down that road. Bill has every right in the world to say, you know what, Robert, you've been saying this for 20 years, okay? Yeah, my Q rating was not high around the league, but let's be honest. You knew that I was what you needed. You hired me. I did a good job. Can we stop saying that, you know, I was left at the end of the driveway like an abandoned kitchen table? Okay, stop. But to try and talk about the Patriots, who had Drew Bledsoe and Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy and Terry Glenn and Ted Johnson and a litany of very, very good players at that juncture. Even Ben Coates and Bruce Armstrong still on the team, though not for long. To talk about that team as if it was one of the worst in the AFC, as Bill alleged. Yeah, it was in bad cap situation, largely because Kraft could not contain his spending, ironically enough. So the notion that Bill came in and because of Robert had to overspend, because that was kind of weaseled into the article as well, that the Patriots are way down in spending. Bill was the one who finally grabbed the purse strings and said, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to spend on everybody. Ted making a ton of money at that point. Ted, I'm not watching your pocketbook, but oh, so many guys. McGinnis was making a ton of money. Max Lane, Todd Rucci, they were all making really, really good money, and they didn't have a second class, really. But to me, it's undeniable. Bill wanted to come to New England. Go ahead. Sorry, buddy.
I agree, buddy. So he hasn't officially asked out yet, though they were a Super Bowl contender, surprisingly so, last year. But Terry McLaurin, receiver with the Commanders, has made his displeasure with the organization quite well known. So what is your interest potentially, let's say, if it comes to that point or that fork in the road in the Patriots possibly trying to see if they could pry away the Pro Bowl receiver?
You should be at the front of the line. You have $60 million in cap space, which is $15 million more than every other team. You pursued Chris Godwin for an ungodly amount, more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers re-signed him for. You weren't able to get him. You settled for Stephon Diggs. He might work out terrific, but he's on a low-budget, low-risk contract for the Patriots. So you never filled your number one receiver position, period, end of story, end of conversation. That position has not been filled. So I don't know if anybody in the NFL has a greater number one receiver need than the Patriots. But we continue to talk about it on our station a lot. And, you know, just another McLaurin say, and I say, lather, rinse, repeat, no matter who it is, whether it's A.J. Brown for the last 3 years, whether it's Chris Godwin, whether it's Brandon Ayuk, any player who intimates that he is unhappy with this situation should be at the top of the Patriots list, because it's been a long friggin' time since they've had anything that would constitute a number one wideout. Probably back to, and most people wouldn't even consider him that, but I would, Julian Edelman.
Well, as we continue to kind of set the table for training camp upcoming, just an easy pick'em question here. One roster battle that you're looking forward to watching on the offensive side of the football, and one on the defensive side as well.
All the wide receivers.
Yeah, easy enough.
I just want to see how that flushes out. You know, is Kyle Williams able to be a better player than Efton Chisholm? I mean, and people are going to go, what? How could that be? Who has more productive practices on a routine basis? And I'm not saying Kyle Williams might not one day be better, but that's a position battle I'm intrigued, even though Williams is outside. But that's one storyline among the new arrivals. And can Kyle Williams be better than Kayshon Booty, who I don't think is the slouch that people presume he is because he's a sixth-round pick? Can Jalen Polk play? Can Javon Baker somehow make the team? Because I think he's on the outside looking in. Can Diggs get out there and play? Is Kendrick Bourne going to be rejuvenated with McDaniel? So that's a big position battle en masse that I'm looking at on offense. And then defensively, I'm going to be intrigued to see what the rotation is at the edges. They have Harold Landry, who I really think can be a good player for them. Kalavon Chaisson, who they added, former first-round pick. He saw a lot of time in minicamp. Keon White should be difficult to contain, and we're going to start to look for that more in the joint practices than anything else. But that edge stuff matters because they were the worst team in the NFL in terms of sacks per pass attempt, and that cannot go on no matter how good your secondary is.
Tom, I'm going to ask you a question that is often tough to articulate, or sometimes people don't understand when you say it, but it's a fun question this time of year. Surprise cut for this Patriots team.
Oh, boy. I would say, and they're good players, and they just signed new contracts, but there's two guys who stick out like sore thumbs in terms of their contracts, and that's Mike Onwenu and Kyle Duggar. Onwenu's got a cap hit of $21 million this year. Next year it goes up to 25. Duggar, I think, is $17 million this year. It goes up again next year. I don't know if they'd be cut, but I'm talking about who would I be scrutinizing as having something to prove overall in 2025? It's those guys. So I think that would be a jaw-dropping development, but neither of those guys is playing as a player in the top half of the guys at their position in the NFL. Agree? Kind of? I mean, Onwenu was not one of the best offensive linemen, whether it be guard or tackle.
No, I think those are great names, but you know how this works. Now people are going to be like, Curran said that Onwenu and Duggar are going to get cut. Nope, that's not how surprise cut works. He just said it would be shocking, but you can paint it.
Yeah, only if your web guy decides to cut that and put it out there.
We'll tell him to get on.
Happen. Never
which
know.
He often does.
Yep.
Which he often does.
Tommy, one last quick one, if I can. I think this is going to be the year of Christian Gonzalez. I think at the end of the 2025 season, it'll be abundantly clear that the best player on the New England Patriots is cornerback zero, Christian Gonzalez. Ahmet Gardner, Sauce Gardner, just got paid $30 million a season. Do you believe in Christian Gonzalez as a potential defensive player of the year candidate and possible $35 million a year corner?
No to the first, yes to the second. It's the cost of doing business, and that's part of what I think the Patriots should probably start thinking about spending their money towards, is trying to re-up some of these guys, because they actually have very little cap space already for next year. They're in the red. Now it's a long time away and things will change, but their cap space has been largely eliminated for next year. So you're going to have to roll some of that $60 million that you have, even though it's going to be dissipated. You're going to have to roll some of that into 2026 to get yourself right. But you have to look at Gonzalez, and then you're going to have to look at Mays, who are two premium position players. And it isn't too early to at least look and forecast what you're going to have to consider with Drake May, because it could be, if Tua's making $50 million plus and Trevor Lawrence making $55 million, and inflation continues to indicate it, you could be looking at some ridiculous $70 million a year value contract if Drake May plays the way a third overall pick with great potential should.
Tom, I got a snarky question I have to get in before you go, because you've had a couple weeks off. So you once got into a debate as to whether a quarterback had a house. Now we have a debate. Did Drake May give away his wedding gifts or not?
Seemingly not. I think that was an AI-generated story. We were discussing this. I was on vacation when this germinated, so I didn't even really see it because I didn't even open my computer. But I guess in the AI story that was talking about May having given away his gifts, like Vrabel was quoted in it, and it was like Vrabel and Carlton Davis or somebody were quoted in this fake story about him having given away the gifts. So,
tremendous.
Yeah, it's really, really, you got to be on the lookout.
Yep.
You got to be on the lookout.
You imagine a homeless shelter getting a bowl that says congratulations to the Mays?
Yeah. Now the bowl got taken back.
It's unbelievable. It really is. You know, and think about it now. I mean, like, you can't. What a gif.
Right.
Take him away? I mean, does he now? Is he in a corner now where he actually
has to
pop that up?
He certainly can't come out and say, that's not true. I did not give away my gifts. I kept them all for myself. You can't put that press release out.
actually, in advance of any outcry, I do think, and I apologize for, I do think that using that term that used to be used when we were kids, GYP, is might be in the category of politically incorrect. And so I apologize for having said that in the heat of the moment.
No worries, Tom. We will see you next week down in Foxborough, right?
Love it.
Thanks. See you, Tom. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That was Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Up next, we'll react to some of the things that Tom said, including no gifts were given away by Drake May. He kept them all for himself and his wife, as he should. WEEI Afternoons rolls on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Debating whether or not to go see those guys at Fenway Park tomorrow night.
Who is that?
Lumineers.
Lumineers, okay.
I mean, Fenway, I feel like any show at Fenway is a good show because you have the whole outdoor vibe. You got the whole ballpark vibe. I just don't know. Lumineers don't, they don't have a giant catalog, and I'm not a huge fan. So
right.
I'm not sure. But
yeah, if you're not, if they don't have a huge catalog and you're not a huge fan, why would you go to
that? Well, because I love going to concerts at Fenway. Like, I just like, it's summer and there aren't a lot of, this particular year, I don't think there's a lot of great concerts at Fenway.
My first concert at Fenway will be this year at Chris Breezy. Chris Brown, when he'll be
when
there.
Is that?
August 25th.
August? Yeah.
Forever by Chris Brown is an all-time banger.
All right.
Really all-time?
I like Sensational.
Yeah, it's from like 2009. That song rips.
Is it Chris Brown, Mrs. Wiggins Hall Pass, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, she's one of them. I mean, he's one of them.
He's
excuse
one
me.
Of them? Yes.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Anyway, leadoff has occurred between Jackson and Mitch. Now we get to the real business of today's leads. Shime, good morning.
Hey, Greg, good morning. Yesterday at about 9 o'clock, we talked about the new story from ESPN about Belichick's comments kind of clapping back at Robert Kraft.
Yes.
And having slept on it now for another day, I'm just – this is awful. I almost just swore. It's such a crappy situation because, like, we had had so much success for a quarter of a century here with the New England Patriots, basically. And yet, now, these two guys who both bear some responsibility for the success of the franchise now can't stop bickering like schoolgirls over who deserves more credit. And it's infuriating. It sullies what we've had for the last 20 years in that these guys can't just make nice and get along. You're grown adults. You don't need to continuously take side shots across each other's bow just because you want full credit. And I know Wiggy pointed out yesterday that it's an ego thing, and I get that, but like, what you did was so special. You should be just thriving in that glow. You should just like relish what you had instead of trying to figure out ways to like take each other down. And it's just from a guy in Bill Belichick, who is the greatest football coach in the history of the sport, and a guy in Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the most prestigious franchise now in the history of the sport. This is beneath both of them. They shouldn't be doing this. They need to stop it. I've kind of had enough of it. And day and day go by, and I continue to think that maybe I'm just a Tom Brady fan because these guys continuously yell at each other and make, like, remarks that are unnecessary and unneeded.
Well, you didn't really feel this way when we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was still trying to react to it, and it was fresh, and then I slept on it overnight, and I'm just kind of sick of it. Like, the more I think about it, the more I read about it, like, it's just, I'm just sick of it. Like,
why are you doing this? Who do you put the blame on for it?
Both of them. They both deserve blame. Like, Robert Kraft taking shots at Bill with the documentary, and then if you take the comment he made with Julian Edelman as a slight, and then Bill for feeling the need to respond, and
you wouldn't respond. I mean, I think I made my feelings on this clear yesterday.
Yeah.
But I can.
He doesn't though. Like, it's just, we know what Bill did. We saw it firsthand. We experienced it. You don't need to go to Don Van Natta at ESPN and talk about how the cap situation was terrible.
You don't have to defend yourself when you're, as you just said, when you're the greatest to ever coach in the sport, and a guy says his best move was taking a risk on hiring you.
Right.
Like, you don't have to go.
No, your resume speaks for itself, Greg. Like, you won 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but why, if you're Robert, why? First it started with the documentary. Then it went to the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne.
When he said, I fired him.
Right. Then
I said this yesterday. Bill, I give him credit, was willing to depart in a classy way.
That's it.
Was willing to go up there and do the stupid mutual parting of the ways thing.
After he like ruined the team.
He didn't ruin the team.
Greg,
Sean,
he hired a defensive coordinator to be your offensive coordinator. A guy who had never done the job before.
You sit too close to Curtis. He didn't ruin the football team.
This is not a I hate Bill Belichick thing. But
he didn't ruin the football team.
Like, this relationship was destroyed well before Belichick left the New England Patriots.
Yeah, but he had a bad season. Like, so, all right, if you have a couple bad seasons. Well, if you have a couple bad seasons as a coach, then if you're the owner, then you fire the guy. You don't make a documentary about the guy and how difficult it was to work with him
for
20 years.
Wiggy, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, like, I think both of these guys are above this crap, and it's kind of just, it's silly. It's
I feel
petty,
like Bill was
stupid.
Above it, and then kind of Robert brought him down with the situations of the documentary and some of the other stuff that he said. And so
Dynasty was a hit piece.
Right.
At one guy, and it was unnecessary.
Right.
And he kind of took the high road after that. He didn't say much about Dynasty.
No, but like, Bill was also like in the Dynasty, and half the time he was being asked questions, he was sitting there and snorting. Like, I mean, he had a chance to talk. It's not like they cut out everything Bill did.
But you know how Bill felt about it, because at the Brady roast, he goes, oh, wow, this is like the documentary roast, or whatever that joke he made at the Brady roast about the documentary being a roast on him. So I just feel like, you know, the documentary could have just been about how great it was to work with Bill and the success that they had as an organization and as a team, rather than it was hard to work with him. Like
he could have, when he was asked by Julian Edelman on the podcast, what was the question? What was your greatest
best decision?
Best decision as an owner.
Yep.
He could have said, if he wanted to be classy, giving Bill Belichick full control of the football right. side of things, mm-hmm. which led to 6 Lombardi trophies, was the best move that I ever made. Yeah. And then you don't get a clap back. You don't get a guy who feels the need because he's backed into a corner.
But he didn't even take a shot at him. He said his best decision was bringing in Bill Belichick. I understand that he also put in the fact that it was a risk, but he's not necessarily wrong. It wasn't the most beloved move when he did it here. Granted, I was a child, but all of the reaction at the time when Bill Belichick was hired was not positive towards Robert Kraft. He's not lying in that regard. He didn't call Bill Belichick like a fraud.
But also the same thing you're saying about Bill, you could say about Robert. Everybody knows,
I agree. I said both of them
knows
need to step
that he
it
was
up.
Everybody knows he was the owner. Like, everybody knows that he wrote the checks. Everybody knows that.
I totally agree. I think both of them bear responsibility and blame. Like, I think it goes both ways. No one person is responsible for or the cause of anything that has happened with this franchise. Like, there's multiple directions in which that blame and responsibility goes.
I do agree with one thing that Wiggy said yesterday, and that is that it is unlikely that there ends up being a Bill Belichick statue at Gillette Patriot Place Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening in the near future.
No, not at all. And that's going to be – that's the shameful thing because, you know – in 50 years or 60 years when it's all kind of said and done and we're all like, you know, we're all on a different place, people are going to go there and they're only going to really remember Brady because the Brady statue is going to be there.
Yeah.
And Bill is just going to be like, oh, he was the coach guy.
Yeah. All right, Sean, interesting lead from you this morning. We will get to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming up, and also They Said It, which is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And apparently Shaq has had it with those who are coming at Angel Reese.
Mm.
And so he is threatening to throw hands, Wiggy.
Stern voice, too.
We will listen to what Shaq said about Angel Reese and the haters. Among other things, during They Said It, but right now trending with Scheim.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. The Red Sox are off to Chicago. Take on the Cubs tomorrow. First pitch, 2:20, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Von Miller signing a one-year deal with the Washington Commanders. Another veteran signing for the Commanders there. The 49ers have signed second-round pick Alfred Collins, who is the 11th pick in the second round. He signed his rookie contract worth $10.3 million over 4 years, but with $9 million of it guaranteed. So not quite the fully guaranteed that the first two second-rounders to sign got in Jaden Higgins and Carson Schlesinger. And now we wait for all 29 of the other second-round picks to sign their deals. After suffering an injury here in Boston the other night, Caitlin Clark missed her game last night against the Liberty, and her status for the All-Star game is now in question. And the Open Championship is officially underway. The leader in the clubhouse after so far through round one, Jacob Skov-Olesen. Unfamiliar with his game, but he's currently tied for the lead at 4-under. Lee Westwood out on the course also at 4-under in the lead. Scottie Scheffler has teed off. He's through about 6 holes. He is 1-under so far on the day.
Is he having any kind of an existential moment on the course currently?
Doesn't seem like it. Seems like he's having a pretty good time so far.
All right, that's good.
We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. Are you noticing thinning hair? Now's the time to call Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor trusted by Rob Ninkovich and Wes Welker. So change your lettuce and change your life with a free consultation by calling 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Keith, WEEI, Jones off today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over.
Rob Bradford joined us earlier in the program. If you want to check that out, you can on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to baseball, which we obviously talked with Brad about, with the Bradford, or Brad,
Trade deadline 2 weeks from now. The Red Sox back taking on the Cubs tomorrow afternoon. And another thing we've been keeping tabs on is this Jeremy Fowler list. So Jeremy Fowler works for ESPN. It's not his list. He talks to a bunch of scouts, executives around the league, coaches as well, and he has them all vote on who the top 10 players are at each position. And then so you get your top 10, and then you get a couple of honorable mentions, and then a pile of also receiving votes. And so sometimes it ends up being like 25 different names. And we've sort of pointed out, maybe no surprise, Patriots have not exactly been well represented on this list.
Sounds about right.
So this is the order in which they have done it. Running back, no mention of anybody. So Stevenson, probably because of the fumbles last year. Trevion Henderson, a second-round pick. So they are. It is like a projection for this year. So rookies are included. They're eligible. But running back, nobody. Defensive tackle, nobody. That surprised me. I thought Milton Williams would be on there, especially the season that he's coming off of, the big contract he signed. But no, no Milton Williams. Edge rusher, nobody. No surprise. Safety, Kyle Duggar was an also receiving votes. Yeah, that's something.
Right.
So he was somewhat recognized. At least he was on somebody's radar. Tight end, Hunter Henry was an honorable mention. So to this point, Hunter Henry is the highest ranked player at his position on the Patriots.
And he was your best receiver last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Yeah. They split up offensive line to interior offensive line and tackle. Doesn't really matter. They didn't get anybody.
Nobody, yeah.
No. See, I feel like Onwenu maybe could have gotten a sniff, but he also went back and forth, so maybe, I don't know. And then maybe we just view him higher than the league does, clearly. Quarterback, nobody. And we also pointed out that between the top 10, the honorable mention, and the also receiving votes, 18 quarterbacks were mentioned. And so it doesn't mean Drake May's 19th, but that's the highest that he could have been. Off-ball linebacker, Robert Spillane.
All right.
Also receiving votes. Let's hear it for Robert Spillane. Very good. Wide receiver. I did not expect to have anybody on here. But just for those that are interested in this, which I am. I like a power ranking. I like a list. Jamar Chase, number one receiver in the league. That's fair.
Yep. Not going to argue that one.
Justin Jefferson. I think he might be my personal number one. But honestly, you can flip-flop
him. Flip those two. Yeah, right.
Doesn't really matter. Also insane that those guys played college football together. Number three, Tyreek Hill. I don't know about Tyreek. He's 31 years old now.
Right. Three seems a little high.
It does.
Still top five?
Yeah, probably. But I might put these next two guys above him. CeeDee Lamb is fourth.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, fifth.
Yeah, take them both over.
And they're all younger. I mean, Tyreek Hill, let's see how many guys are even in their 30s on this list. Number six is Amon Ross St. Brown, who somehow is only 25.
Nuts.
Malik Nabers, who's 21, is seventh on this list from the Giants. Nico Collins. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Nico Collins is eight. Mike Evans. Oh, there's a 31-year-old. He's ninth. And Garrett Wilson, who just signed that huge contract with the Jets, is 10th.
So what did you say? Two 30-year-olds in the top 10?
Yeah. Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill. Your honorable mentions for wide receiver. Again, this is according to coaches, general managers, and executives. Terry McLaurin, the first honorable mention. A guy whose name maybe is out there.
Out there.
I think ultimately he just signs a contract with the Commanders.
Right.
But if he doesn't, the Patriots should offer. I would start with the second round pick.
Make the call.
Yeah. See if that gets it done. I don't know if you're going to have to trade a first because he's also getting up there a little bit in age. But yeah, McLaurin I like a lot. Puka Nacua, the next honorable mention. Brian Thomas Jr. People might be sleeping on Brian Thomas Jr. He's a third honorable mention. Then DK Metcalf, who just joined the Steelers. T. Higgins, who is back with the Bengals. And then Devontae Adams, who's now with the LA Rams. So those are all of your honorable mentions. Then you get into also receiving votes for wide receivers. Devontae Smith, Ladd McConkey, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jameson Williams, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, George Pickens, Calvin Ridley, Jalen Waddle, and Cortland Sutton. I believe that's like 25 wide receivers.
Right. No Stephon Diggs.
No Diggs. No,
I mean, I get it. He's no coming Patriot. Off an injury, but still, I think
yeah.
There's got to be some kind of expectations where you would think you would get a vote
receiving a vote. Like a I'm not saying, hey, where's honorable mention? I'm saying, hey, how about a vote?
Yeah, because what? How long ago, and this is, you know, the Rich rules, if you were good 3 years ago, you're still good. 3 years ago, he was probably fifth, sixth. Like, he was way up there.
So then we're also talking about a injured receiver whose quarterback is not even on their list.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that hurts him.
It goes to show you how the Patriots are viewed kind of around the league. Like, I think
expectations are low.
Yes. But locally, they're kind of high.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're excited. Well, I mean, you're bringing Vrabel. You're bringing Diggs. You know what I mean? You're making moves, and people are excited because we were so disappointed with last season that even the slightest move is going to perk you up a little bit for the team.
Yeah, that's true. And they did add talent. Like, but you go from having almost no talent to adding talent. Doesn't mean you're top 10 across the league. But, yeah, the Steph Diggs one is pretty telling because, like, with him, you still have a really bad receiver room. Without him, like, you got
nothing.
You got nothing. And so just sort of, it also shows you how many good receivers are in the league. Like, Ladd McConkey was incredible last year, and he's not even an honorable mention. Like, there's that many good wide receivers in the league. You just don't have any of them.
He's second in the received votes. But no.
Excuse me. Cornerback came out today. This is the last position they did. I believe it's the last position, cornerback. And this is where we all expected the Patriots to have a guy in the top 10, and they do. But here's the ranking. Pat Surtain, the second of the Broncos, is number one. Then Derek Stingley Jr., number two. Denzel Ward is three. Trent McDuffie is four. Sauce Gardner, who just signed a massive contract, is fifth. And then coming in number sixth is Christian Gonzalez. And they also, in addition to the ranking, they tell you the highest ranking a player got versus the lowest ranking they got. So somebody did vote Christian Gonzalez number one as the number one corner.
That's, you mean this poll. So that was.
Yeah.
So whoever. Yeah. So one of the execs said he was number one. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. So like. Yeah.
I'm reading it right.
Yeah. So last year, it also has last year's ranking. So going into last year, he was an honorable mention. Mm-hmm. Like, he got some votes, but he wasn't top 10. Nor should he have been last year. Like, last year, he went out and had an awesome year. Lowest ranking was unranked. So there are some in the league that don't think he's a top 10. I think that's outrageous. I think he's clearly number one. So one veteran NFL. So they also put in some quotes on this. I think it's a decent list because it's not one person's ranking. This is a lot of different people who come together for this. A veteran NFL assistant. So they leave it somewhat vague, but quote, I think Gonzo is the next great one. Skills, patience, length, and great interviews. No, it doesn't say that. He says he's the closest thing to Pat Surtain. Smooth, big athlete, travels a lot, can match up against the best guy. I would agree. An NFL coordinator said he'll tackle, but I wouldn't call him physical, but he's got the size and coverage skills to put him on the outside, and he can handle himself, and he can also come up with play runs, or he can play run support and play within the construct of the defense. So, I mean, that seems like the one.
All,
like,
good things.
Yeah, like the one unanimous guy. The question will then become, in another year, will they pay him? But as of right now, that's like the one stud that they have.
Mm.
And that checks out. I think that's how most.
It's going to be a lot of money to keep him around here.
Agreed. So they don't have anybody else in the top 10. Honorable mentions, they don't have.
Nothing.
Carlton Davis wasn't also receiving votes.
Got a vote. All right.
So you have, as far as just recognized players, you have in the whole league, they do top 10 at every position. So whatever that's well over 100 players that they mention. And you have actually way more than 100 because of all the honorable mentions and the also receiving votes. Let's call it 200 players. They have. Five. Okay, that's not bad.
Something.
It's not. Hey, a place. A building.
It's a start because they would have had how many last year?
Probably just.
That's a good point.
Gonzo. And
I don't
Henry,
even know if Gonzo would have done it because he only played 2.5 games.
No. He was an honorable mention. It said.
Oh, last. Okay.
Yeah. So somebody must have given him a vote based off of.
Well, he was tracking to be defensive player of the year.
He was. But I mean, Duggar, Henry, Gonzalez are all back from last year, and then they added Carlton Davis and Spillane.
Duggar might be the biggest surprise on the list.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't have put Duggar on there. I'm surprised that Milton Williams and Steph Diggs didn't even get like a little bit of acknowledgement.
Right.
For like the, because those are two guys I was like excited that they signed, and yet it's like, no. But he did get Robert Spillane. Like, all right.
Here we are digging. We're like, oh my God, how did we not also, how do they not also receive a vote?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, honorable mention's one thing, top 10's another, but come on.
Just. But then,
I still feel like they're going to win 9 or 10 games, which is outrageous, because I agree overall with this list that they don't have a very talented team. And yet I'm like, they can win 9 games. Like, how can they? If some other team had one top 10 player in the league, you wouldn't think they were going to be a player.
Right,
team.
And as I mentioned earlier, it's just the fact that last year was so bad.
Yeah, that's what
that
it is.
The slightest changes and adjustments they made to this year has given you some excitement, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Make my Sundays worth it.
I agree. Let's grab a phone call here. We got Kiefer Madness coming up, and then Davey from the Dork Podcast is going to join us at 1. But let's grab a call. We got John in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. John, what do you have, sir?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I just want to say, Keith, I met you in Newport and Jones about 2 months ago. Jones called me Dave from Rhode Island, and then later that night, my wife asked for divorce. So, honestly, one of the best days of my life.
Here you go.
So, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good night.
So, I just wanted to talk to you about, you guys were talking about the trade deadline. I don't have a name. I don't have a player, but whatever happened, I believe in Craig Breslow. I don't know why, but between the Rafaela and Brian Bello early signings, the all-star free agent acquisitions, the trade of Devers, he kind of gets it. And I never thought I'd say that I believe in Craig Breslow, but for this trade deadline, I do believe in him.
All right, there you go. That's an Adam Jones call right there. Jones has been very pro-Breslow. It's hard not to be pro-Breslow from the offseason.
Right.
Like, everything he did in the offseason was good. We were doing top five current Red Sox. They were all basically new to the team. I mean, the fifth one we all had a trouble with, but like Crochet, Chapman, Bregman, and then the run he was at, Carlos Narvaez.
Right.
Because we did this list before Rafaela really took off. Rafaela would be on the list now. But like, those were all guys brought in by Breslow. But the trade deadline is huge, because the trade deadline is what made me the most upset with Heim Bloom while he was here. And then last year with Breslow, sort of like, you added bodies, but you didn't add anybody of real value. So
yeah, he's had a good offseason.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, too, is I think what hurts Breslow is, it sounds terrible to say, but people kind of lose it when he starts talking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's just the way it is. It's like you start to think that way. It's like, oh, this is what he's thinking. This is how he's going to do it. And then you see the moves he makes. You're like, all right, it's something.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff that he's doing.
He uses giant words. He sounds like a robot. And you're like, oh.
Right. It's tough to get behind it. Yeah.
It is. So if you want to talk about the Red Sox second half, which gets underway tomorrow against the Cubs, and what you want them to do at the deadline, which is not 2 weeks away, feel free at 617-779-7937. Coming up next, we got Kiefer Madness here on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, in the midst of our 4 o'clock football hour, 781 chimes in on the text line. If May has more interceptions than touchdowns after 4 games, what do you do?
Panic.
Hit the panic button.
Yeah.
Bitch about it for 4 straight hours, 5 days a week on WEEI Afternoons. I mean, that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
What's the likelihood of that happening, Andy? Give me your percentage.
10%. It's very low, not just because, A, I think he's pretty good, and I don't think the schedule's that hard.
Yeah.
But also, although there is some good defense on that schedule.
I was going to say, I
he
feel
faces
like
faces Max Crosby and TJ. Doesn't he face TJ Watt?
Yeah,
there
Pittsburgh's
too?
In that. Yeah.
So the two highest paid defensive players for like 5 minutes this offseason.
Right. And Will Campbell's, that's his welcome to the NFL moment as well. I don't think this is that crazy. I think 10%'s low.
Josh McDaniels will not let him throw a boatload of interceptions.
He'll
put the ball away. They'll run. They'll just run screens. They won't let him. He will castrate him.
That's also implying that he's going to throw a boatload of touchdowns, which I'm not necessarily sure that this offense is going to be capable of doing at the beginning. There's a lot of moving parts in this offense that they need to sort out.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
I know.
I once fought Ted Johnson very, very vociferously.
Would love to watch that.
You fought Ted?
Yeah, and I won.
That's why he's not here.
Although he could be listening on the Odyssey app.
Are you out of your mind?
I would urge anybody that isn't able to listen on their car radio or at home or on their smart speaker, you can use the Odyssey app.
And the iHeart app.
And the iHeart app.
We're everywhere.
WEEI Afternoons podcast. But that would be a little bit, that would be bad. That'd be concerning. It would also potentially make for some awkward Mondays when we're doing the Drake interview.
Definitely calling
at,
in then.
At Joel. Oh yeah,
he's not sitting on the couch for those.
If he's got more picks than interceptions, no chance we are sitting down together at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
No chance. But Rob Gronkowski doesn't think that's a possibility. He's got a lot of confidence, it seems. Not only is he an expatriate, he's now still an analyst. He also does the Dudes with Dudes. He's going on Good Morning Football. He's making the rounds. So Rob Gronkowski, how's he feeling about Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots? Well, you don't have to wonder much longer. He's going to tell you.
Yes, well, I think Mike Vrabel is doing an excellent job so far. I mean, you really can't question any of the moves that he has done.
Pause.
Jeez. My God.
You can not question it, bro.
Thank you.
Golly. I can question it. It's kind of my job. Like, I question some of the moves. I think I question whether they did enough at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, because like, they barely did anything at the wide receiver position.
You got Stephon Diggs. You didn't get DK Metcalf. You haven't gotten Terry McLaurin. Like, I can absolutely question things you did. Do you have enough depth or talent on the offensive line? You got Will Campbell.
Right.
What if Will Campbell stinks or Will Campbell's a guard? Who's playing left tackle?
You kind of got bargain bin offensive lineman.
Yeah. What if Morgan Moses looks like he's 34 with a bad knee? Who's playing right tackle?
Oh, you mean the things that are true about him?
Yeah.
Got it.
So you can't question it maybe, Rob, but I can question it. Proceed.
Any of the moves that he has done this year in free agency and in the draft, I think they smacked it out of the park. What we really got to see now is how Coach Vrabel can bring this team together so they can have that chemistry to go out and play together as a team and go out there and win games and possibly have a shot at making the playoffs and winning the division. And if not winning the division, at least getting a wild card so they can compete in the playoffs. That's what he has to do. He has to bring this team together. Because all the moves in the offseason have been done in the draft and free agency. Maybe they're going to make another splash, you know, before the trade deadline because they have about $50, $60 million left in spending. So they're going to maybe go out and make a trade to see, you know, to amp up a position that they need a, you know, that they need to progress at, you know, throughout the season. But other than that, he has been doing such a great job and you can't really question him yet. And you got to just see how he does once the season hits.
How many times are you going to tell me you can't question him?
Goodness.
You can question him. Also, you kind of questioned him. You know, and then they can use the salary cap that they didn't spend this offseason to make the team better and go ramp up some positions they didn't ramp up enough. That sounds like a veiled shot at a question about the head coach and the GM and what they did to make the team better this offseason.
It was shrouded in optimism, but yeah, there was a little bit of pessimism even for him. And I mean, he's there are so many different pieces that he has to bring together with this organization in a relatively short amount of time. And something you've talked about too, it goes far beyond the roster because we know that there are a lot of, you know, there was over 50% roster turnover, whatever the number was that Mike Reese talked about.
Just under 50%, I think.
Okay. Bringing the coaching staff together and finding the level of communication under and with Josh McDaniels on offense so that there's not too many cooks in the kitchen. That's another factor in all of this.
But the coaching staff is better than the team. Is
oh,
that fair
for
to say?
Sure, absolutely.
Like, even if I have questions about too many cooks in the kitchen, I prefer that question to not enough talent on the field. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'd rather have four wide receivers and be like, I don't know who's going to get the ball the most. Who's the number one? Are they going to have a problem feeding all those mouths? I'd rather have that problem than saying, does this team have any good wide receivers?
Right.
And that's where they are. Whereas coaches, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of voices in that offensive team meeting room. But that's potentially a good thing. Like, there's an upside to that, even if it comes with some stress for Josh McDaniels, managing it all, pulling it all together. So, yeah, there is no doubt this is a more talented coaching staff than it is roster, right?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. And there's also a number of guys who have been in the Vrabel coaching tree prior, so they should have a previously established language and understanding of how they work and all the different things that are important. And Vrabel and McDaniels obviously know each other very well. As Schrager was talking about, they spent the last 12 months game planning. What are the 2025 Patriots going to look like?
Yeah.
So that's an element of it, but you're 100% right. Compared to the bringing the roster together, the coaching staff should be a non-factor.
This is a question that Ted would love if I asked it this way, but he's not here today, so you get it, Dan Ball.
All right. You know, me and him, spitting image.
What is the best thing that Mike Vrabel has done since he arrived in New England? And I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Oh. Wow. And asked in true Andy Hart fashion.
Yep.
The best thing that Mike Vrabel has done since getting to New England. I mean, he's done a lot. Is it hire Josh McDaniels?
No, that's really good. That's a good answer. That might be my answer.
Yeah.
It's a good answer. Coaching staff, putting it together.
Yeah.
That could be the answer. Taking the obvious guy at left tackle at four might be an answer. Stiz, do you have an option?
What about just changing the culture?
Okay.
I know that's a little more abstract and not as, you know, tangible,
yeah,
but I do feel like the culture is different now.
It is, and you're close to getting what I believe is the real answer, because there is something that bothered me mightily about the Gerard Mayo error here in New England.
Oh, he said nothing.
Nope. Oh, that's okay. Different. Nope.
He hasn't said anything walkbackable.
Gerard Mayo put up a mural at Gillette Stadium with a North Star and a picture of himself, and Robin Glazer was involved with it, that whole thing.
So bizarre.
You know what Mike Vrabel officially did last week?
Tell me he took it down.
The mural is gone.
Oh, that's good.
I have been told that stupid mural, that was a bad idea from day one.
Playoffs
to
are
me,
on the table.
That mural was symbolic not of the positive future of the Patriots, but the debacle that they were living through last season.
Yeah.
I was told that the mural is gone.
Jeez.
So it is now Mike Vrabel is full speed ahead. And Mike, don't put up a mural of yourself or anything like that. Just, I don't know, paint the wall white.
Yeah.
Put like a Patriots logo on it.
Yeah,
do
nice
something.
Asylum white. Yeah.
Whatever.
That seems to be
something
perfect.
Historic. If you want to do something history related, I don't know, a picture of the old Foxborough Stadium, whatever. But you did the most important thing. You covered that mural up, because I think that bothered me more, A, than almost anyone else.
Yeah.
And maybe B, more than it should have. But I hated that mural from the first day I heard. I couldn't believe it was being offered up and promoted as a good thing or a good idea.
Yeah, that's a weird move.
And now freaking
a PR win.
And now everybody's using it. Brad Stevens has been referencing it, right? His North Star. North Star around here. Stop it with your North Stars, because that makes me think of Gerard Mayo. You have a championship. You were a good coach. You're a good president. Stop saying things about the worst regime that's come through here in a while in New England.
Well, North Star is a common sports refrain. Just leave it to Gerard Mayo to somehow screw up what is one of the easiest metaphors you can use in sports.
He ruined it.
Man.
And certainly ruined it by putting a mural of himself on the wall at Gillette Stadium. So
Has a Boston, was this worse than Bobby Valentine's 1 year in Boston, now that we learn more about the 1 year Gerard Mayo experience?
I don't know. That was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
This one was years in the making and was kind of predetermined, where it seemed like I don't know what the thought process
was
behind Bobby Valentine.
Okay, so that is a great point. That is why this is worse.
Yeah.
This was sort of a plan. That was a scramble, it felt like.
The absence of a plan.
That was like the Knicks in a way, that scrambled after they screwed up the head coach that they just should have kept, and Thibodeau, who the players hated, whatever went down there.
Yeah.
But they had this plan. Like, Gerard Mayo was the guy. Gerard Mayo knew he was the guy. Gerard Mayo should have been ready to hit the ground running with coaching staff and culture and whatever.
Not murals. Or better murals.
Or better murals. If it included murals, just have better murals. So that was an absolute debacle. That whole mural was just, to me, symbolic of everything that was wrong with that 1 year. And the one person I give credit for, the one person who kind of screwed it up by hiring him, also realized he had to fix it very quickly.
Yeah.
So Robert Kraft, you made the mistake, but we all make mistakes. The first thing you got to do is stop digging to get out of a hole. You stopped digging very quickly. You buried Gerard Mayo and you moved on with Mike Vrabel. So I give you credit for that.
I mean, I remember the conversation, because this was when I first got here, was I think the expectation was he would get another season just for the fact that there wouldn't be the admittance that, oh my God, we screwed this up beyond repair. We have to get rid of him. I feel like the common refrain up until that last win against the Bills, or even let's say up until the bye, was, oh yeah, he's going to get another shot.
Yeah, I think he thought he was going to get another shot until he found out. Now, when he found out, stories I've heard, did he find out the day before, and that's played a role in how everything played? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I think for the bulk of the season, and then you have some of the reporting from Callahan and others, that they started to realize there wasn't a 3-year plan. They might have been coaching for their jobs, but it was a debacle. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Ed in Maine wants to chime in on Mayo versus Valentine. What's up, Ed?
How you doing? Great show, guys. I definitely think the Valentine era was better, simply because Mayo left us with, somehow he was able to lose the number one draft pick. So, I mean, that could leave a mark for 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, that's terrible, but keep it up, guys.
All right, thanks, Ed. Thanks for the call. Quick trigger figure from Stiz. Behind the scenes here, usually I'm the one you blame if you cut somebody off, but if somebody gets cut off today, my mouse isn't working, there's something going on with the call screener, so Stiz is bringing calls up and down. So you get cut off, text line, you get angry at somebody for dropping you too quick, whatever it is, that's Stiz. But he's right. There are lasting effects of You could have had Travis Hunter. Like, whatever you wanted to do, whatever you would have done, or just traded that first pick for a boatload, which would have paid dividends down the road, future first-round picks. I think people have already sort of forgotten that, which is weird. Another great job by Mike Vrabel. Because with lesser turnover and hope in the offseason, we might still be bitching about that and lamenting that.
Yeah.
So he has done a nice job, not just changing the internal culture.
Yeah.
But also the external culture around here.
It's a great point. I mean, up until the Red Sox winning 10 games in a row and becoming relevant once again, our entire conversation was, oh, thank God the Patriots are about to start training camp because I am sick and tired of talking about the other three teams in Boston sports. Imagine telling yourself that in February after you just acquired Crochet and after you just signed Bregman and then after the Celtics looked like they were poised for another run for another title, you know, Bruins notwithstanding. But to say that the Patriots had the most optimism around them just months removed from that debacle, that's pretty damn well done.
Coming up, we need to touch on something big that happened last night at Gillette Stadium, but it has nothing to do with the Patriots or the Revs. It's about Coldplay. I utilized it in my three-point stance, but we got to dig a little deeper here. When you're going to go on a date, the last place you want to end up is a Jumbotron. But, well, things happen in life. It comes at you fast. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Heat advisory in effect now through Thursday. Shine, we should open up the window world of Boston weather window, if you could, please. Poke your head out. What are we looking at today besides stifling heat and humidity?
Yeah, Greg, it's currently 75 degrees and cloudy here in the city of Boston. The high today is 87, but it's going to feel like it's pushing closer to 100 as that heat advisory is in effect. So just be careful out there. Stay hydrated. Try and stay cool as best you can.
Okay. Curtis off. Not allowed back in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts until the Red Sox lose. So there's that. And then Courtney is off rest of the week. Mego is here. And we were in the middle of our leads before we get to They Said It in about 15 or 20 minutes. Mego, good morning.
Good morning. I have a football lead as well today.
Okay.
So Adam Schefter had the report yesterday that 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings wants a new contract or a trade. He's owed $7.5 million in the final year of an extension that he signed with San Francisco last summer. He's not expected to be a holdout in training camp, but sources tell Schefter he won't be happy if he doesn't get that new contract or trade either. He's coming off his best NFL season. He had 975 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns, ranked 10 in yards per route run, and he only had one drop. He's not a yards after catch guy. He's like a big body contested receiver guy. He's 6'3", over 200 pounds. I think he'd be a nice addition for this Patriots team. I know that they have a lot of receivers who are actively battling it out in training camp coming up for a roster spot, but they don't have a big body guy like this. Like, the biggest body guy that they have is Mac Hollins, and he's been injured all offseason. Yeah. And I think
he's a journeyman anyways.
It would help to have somebody who is just a little bit of a different look.
Right.
They've got a lot of smaller guys. They got a lot of yards after catch guys. This would give you a different dimension. I don't know how much I'd go up to pay him, but he's also the closest to a 1,000-yard receiver you'd probably have in your room.
I'd do you one better, though, because he's disgruntled, right? He wants out. I'd go get Terry McLaurin. He's disgruntled. He wants out. He's a guy that can do all those things, right? And he's a guy who can run after the catch, and he's, what, 28 or 29 years old?
He's 30, I believe. About to be 30. Yeah.
Well, him and the guy you brought up, they're like close to the same age. That's who I would go out and get.
I'm guessing there may be a lot of guys who are disgruntled, as you put it, and looking for new deals after the Garrett Wilson deal.
Oh, yeah. And not only the Garrett Wilson deal. You see Shimes, boy? Yeah, we might not see Travion Henderson because of the Higgins deal from the Texans, all the second-round draft picks. You seen that story?
Yeah.
Where all the second-round draft picks basically now want guaranteed contracts because the Texans did it with the receiver, and now it's like, what, 30 of the 32 guys haven't signed, Shime?
That's correct. 30 of the 32.
So that's Henderson.
But what's that Garrett Wilson number guaranteed?
Was 90.
90, right?
Yeah.
31 a year, basically.
Yeah, but he's also only, what, 25?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's locked down now till he's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
All right, Mego.
The Patriots have, like, $60 million in space against the cap. They can add this guy and still do other stuff.
No, we could add Terry McLaurin. And
yes.
Yes. I just don't think the Commanders are going to let Terry McLaurin walk.
So then pay him.
They will.
All right.
I think they will in training camp.
Okay. All right. Mego, thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I wrote some things down because here's how I'll give Cora a pass and get him back. I'll get back on the Cora train. You have to do something that it seems like you haven't done in a long time. And when you look at the Boston Red Sox, their post-All-Star break record is atrocious. 2024, last year, their post-All-Star game, their post-All-Star record, 10 games under 500, 2023, 11 games under 500, 2022, 9 games under 500. In 2021, the year that Cora made the playoffs, they were 3 games above 500. So there's a pattern, Alex. And if you look at Alex's record pre-All-Star game, I mean All-Star game and what the record looks like for the Red Sox, very good when it comes to pre-All-Star game, but he falls apart as a manager and his teams fall apart after the All-Star break. So what he needs to do this year is make sure that he doesn't have the same track record that we've seen Alex Cora have so many years here as the manager, and make sure this team is above 500 ball club after the All-Star break.
Okay, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
Remember when we were little and we used to go back to school in September and they'd have you write a paper on what you did on your summer vacation?
Yes.
Did you do that or you didn't?
I think so. Yeah, I just always remember that like final 2 weeks of summer when you were trying to do all the summer reading and stuff that you didn't do over the summer. And you'd pick up a pencil and it'd be like, I don't remember how to write. Like my hand doesn't work anymore.
Mine was the first day outfit.
Yeah.
First day outfit had to be on point.
Yeah.
Back to school outfit. So the first day had to be on point.
But by the way, your outfit today, in the Twitch chat earlier, somebody was asking if you just came from the set of the Thriller video.
Because of the...
That's kind of what you look like today.
Thriller night. Yeah. I used to have the Michael Jackson Thriller jacket.
Anyway... Jay Cutler is being dragged a bit for what he did on his summer vacation. And if you're watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, you can see Jay Cutler is in South Africa.
Oh.
I knew I was going to get
cool.
I knew this was going to get you going, Mego.
That is not cool, man.
He took down a sable antelope.
All right.
And took to Instagram to celebrate it.
All right.
And there are those who get angry anytime anybody is out in the wild hunting animals who live in the wild. You go on safari, you are legally allowed to go on safari and take out the sable antelope.
Right.
If you're able to do so. I don't have a problem with it, but I wanted to see how. I heard you groaning earlier, Mego, so I'm assuming
it's big game hunting.
You're not a fan of this.
I did a quick search. Apparently population very stable. So I wonder if this is equivalent to going out and like shooting a buck or something.
Probably around
here. I'd say I understand when people do that. It's in a way a form of population control if the population is stable or exploding it does in some regions in the suburbs.
Right.
At the same time, just when people post that, it just really bums me out. I'll never forget a couple years ago, somebody posted some woman thought that she shot a wolf. And it was
a wolf.
It was a Siberian husky. You
like
know
the way she says wolf.
She said a wolf. And she was getting on me about saying whale yesterday.
Wolf.
Yeah, a wolf.
I can't. Wolf.
Oh,
he was getting on me about saying, what's in your whale house? Yeah, woof.
Wiggy, we all have regional accents.
So
no, I remember that story.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I just don't like seeing the pictures. I know it's like a trophy and it's a form of sport, and it seems like this is not encroaching on any endangered species. But you see it, and I just go, "Oh, the
it's a big game,
thing.
Hunter." You know, I mean, I know plenty of guys you play. I played with in the NFL that loved hunting.
Shot a wolf.
Yeah,
and you know, my father.
Big game hunter.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a big hunter. I don't do it, but I know that, you know, as long as you do it the right way, because, and you know, it's got to be legal and that kind of thing. So,
well, it wasn't that long ago that he took down the absolute gazelle that is Kristen Cavallari. So,
she is everywhere now, by the way.
Oh, my Lord. Very, very lovely woman.
Huh? Have you met her?
No, but I have always been attracted to
her. She's gorgeous.
I've always been attracted. She is really, and she gets better with age.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like she's like Diane Lane or that type of woman who's just
Jennifer
gonna
Aniston.
Keep getting more attractive.
She likes
attractive.
The young bros, don't she?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she good does. For her.
Hmm? Yes, yeah, she does. All right, well, those are our leads. And we're going to get to They Said It coming up next, and then the news with Scheim filling in for Courtney at 7:45 this morning. And that includes the dumbest of the day today and a new trend on TikTok, which, once again, those who are dumb enough to be doing it are being warned not to do it. So we'll get to that during the dumbest of the day. But right now, here is Mego with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Subaru of New England. It's going to be a Subaru summer. SubaruofNewEngland.com. Mariners slugger Cal Raleigh won the home run derby last night with 18 dingers in the final, beating out Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's the first catcher and switch hitting winner in derby history. The big dumper's dad, Todd, served as his pitcher. Here he is discussing his son's victory.
Well, it's just a great accomplishment, and I think that everybody, every dad that's ever had a kid, this is what they dreamed about, and as a dad, you kind of dream about it. To see it come true for your son is unbelievable.
Celtics forward Jordan Walsh was ejected from last night's NBA Summer League game after picking up two technical fouls. Walsh was tossed in the second quarter of the 100-96 loss to the Miami Heat. All eyes in the world of women's basketball will be on TD Garden tonight, where the Connecticut Sun will face Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever at 8 p.m. Clark returned from injury last week and is averaging nearly 17 points and 9 assists per game. The get-in price for tonight's game is about $90.
Okay.
All right. I'm excited. I want to see Caitlin in person. I mean, unfortunately, the Connecticut Sun, I think they stink.
Yeah.
But, you know, where I think a lot of people are going to be like myself going there to see Caitlin Clark. So, should be a good turnout. I'm glad she's playing, too.
Are you a Caitlin Clark fan?
No, but I just like...
No, you're not.
No, I'm not like a WNBA fan, but I want to see Caitlin Clark in person. I mean, she got skills.
She's a phenom. Subaru's...
I just got a text from Angel Reese asking why you don't want to see her.
Why
doesn't Wiggy want to see me?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because she can't make layups. So, I don't know. It's the hype around Caitlin Clark is like the WNBA's LeBron James. You know, I'd rather see LeBron James than
so
see...
So what's Angel?
Angel's like Draymond Green. I'm not going to show up to see Draymond.
Subaru Summer is finally here. Buckle up for an unforgettable summer in a brand new 2025 Subaru Crosstrek. Buy with 2.9% financing for up to 72 months or lease for just $269 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
That is what's trending. Coming up next, They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.